Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, welcome, as we get ready to get down with another version of the Soul Tree and Soul Tree Radio. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, and as always, it's good to be with you. Soul Tree Radio, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassin of the Black Athletes Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Band Network who will be joining us once some of their itis is done. Gonna shake that itis off, y'all. Anyway, on the menu tonight, Mouse Madness, The Purge at ESPN, and what it means for the business, the rise of independent sports, as Pat McAfee is probably fat and happy after signing an $85 million contract, and what we will call employee review. Now, if you worked in the corporate sector for any amount of time, you know how those are. You know, they call you in the office, Mike, come on in, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. Well, we've noticed your work over the past year. This is what we think of you. You know, we're going to promote you. We're going to raise your money a little bit, or we're going to tell you to get the fuck out. One way or another, you get to know what the hell's going to happen. And, of course, what's happening is my main man, Gary Norris Gray, is in, I believe, the kitchen contemplating his next move. What's up, G?
The
I did
eggs,
have a good
no, the eggs.
Chop, chop, indeed. Talk about decon. There's a whole lot of mouse proofing going on. What do you think?
Sir. Michael, and see, this is, people at ESPN look around.
Uh-huh.
2 years ago, it is a warning. 2 years ago, and nobody paid attention. Well, guess what? Here you are.
You know what's interesting? Nobody thought when the mouse came online in 79 that they would be as huge an institution and as huge an annoyance as they would be. You know, first, the idea of doing sports and just sports, of course, it appealed to some folks, myself included. But the curse of coming in and thinking that you're the show, and of course, some of their people. Some of the names that were cut loose were well-known, as I'm waiting for my brother Tony to show up. You know, Susie Colbert, Todd McNugget, a couple other assholes. But there were a couple other people that were pretty confident. And it was a shame that they had to go too. With 20 salaries gone like that, Gary, we have to conclude they lost a lot of money to get rid of this many people.
Yeah. And that's why they had to cut. That's why they cut this year. They lost a lot of money. Look, the economy went down the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN got away with it because it was sports. Well,
yeah.
Guess what? The ticket go over the roof. Now I got to pay for it.
Yep. Well, they had to get rid of some of the garbage, and some of those people were garbage. Todd McShay, being in there, was a waste of space. Now they want to say he was a so-called draft expert, but he was fucking awful.
Michael,
Yeah, they did. But still, having said that, you're surprised at the enormity of the cuts.
No.
And you got to ask yourself, why was it necessary to get rid of this many people? Did they lose that much money?
They're trying to make money. It's about making money.
Yeah, I got that.
That's why I had to go, because it was the money.
Yeah. But even if they had to let some people go, if you let go of 2 people, 5 people, you know, you can understand that. You're trimming this back. So-called efficiency experts have come into jobs in the corporate sector and said, we can get rid of this person's job or that person's job, or we can do this with 2 people instead of 4 people. But to get rid of 20 people in a specialized business like this, it's not like a factory or something, although they did act like it sometimes. But getting rid of 20 people is a lot of people, Gary.
Well, I'm going to tell you what happened.
Okay.
During the pandemic year 2020.
Right.
They saw how to run the network with less people on the air, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember, everybody was going to Bristol every day to go to the studio, right?
Yeah.
Well, when the pandemic hit, they didn't go to the studio, right?
No.
They had Facebook and FaceTime, wherever it was. So they said, hey, this is an idea. We're going to use 2 or 3 people a show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's where they got the idea from.
Mm.
2020 pandemic.
Well, for you, when did the mouse become a rat? When did they really like,
okay,
I don't want to
see
this crap.
The mouse became a rat in 1998. When they did PTI, whatever.
Yeah, pardon the interruption. Mm-hmm.
And the other show was the two guys up against each other. Another two guys before him.
Okay.
Well, when they called Prince James. Instead of LeBron James, I said, okay, you're right now.
Oh, skip me
on. You can't sit here and say Prince James is moving LeBron James.
Exactly.
So, that's when they became the rat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
mean,
know that. Well, I agree, although I've never been a fan, I didn't like the idea of how they would trace some people's names like that, and Skip Bayless was notorious for doing that. We got our brother Tony McClain with us right now, and he was there in the belly of the mouse. Tony, they did some exterminating over in Bristol, Connecticut. And I can remember the anchor, Sal Marciano, saying, happiness is Bristol in the rearview mirror. And I want your assessment over what the mouse did over the last few hours. And good evening, brother.
Well, I'm still trying to bathe all the nastiness off of me after all these years, but that's a whole other story. You know, it's a story. I mean, it probably would have been more of a bigger impact, say, 15, 20 years ago. But because they've become sort of passé now, I think, you know, because there's so many other outlets now, and plus the fact that, because, like, you know, as we were prepping, you know, the only one that I actually, you know, made whatever about was I've been screaming for Jeff Van Gundy to be fired, so I can finally put those 13 candles away now, and you Quizway, you and Miss Van Gundy are probably his fans. I don't, you know. The whole bad Woody Allen impersonation during the game just bothers me. But the funny thing is, I'm willing to bet now, and it's funny because our colleague Reggie called me too in regards to the extermination, as y'all put it. They'll probably, you know what? Probably the football related guys will probably resurface within the next few weeks once we get closer to football. Some of the other guys, I think Max Kellerman will find a place. The only one I was really surprised was Susie Colbert. But Susie Colbert is there forever. I know this with them, and they do this with all of their firings, purgings, or whatever. They always do it in groups. It's never like one person being canned or fired or whatever. I know when I got canned, it was me and a couple of other guys. So they do sort of like a mass thing. But again, big picture wise, and again, I have to speak. Just because of my habits, and you know, I've always said I don't do pre and post game shows. The only thing I watch on the mouse is live sports events. So most of them folks there that got canned or whatever, it's not really going to change my viewing habits or anything. You know, I'll notice that they're gone or what have you, but going back about 15, 20 years ago, every like 2 years or so, they would always have a purging. But this one, I think, was the biggest one because of so many different names that canned. And apparently, since I've talked to you, Mike, apparently there are a few more that are going to get, mostly four or five more between now and Friday. But, you know, it's, for lack of a better word, it's sort of spring cleaning, in a sense.
Yeah.
Because
spring cleaning is right.
And you know, now they just gave, I think, the, you know, Pat McAfee, whose appeal I just don't get, was signed to a large, signed a large deal a little while ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And I'm not, I mean, I don't dislike him or whatever. I'm not a fan. I don't, you know, I saw a bunch of his, I remember watching a couple of his shows online or what have you, but I mean, to be quite honest, I think a lot of us have mutual guys that we either see online or in other outlets. For example, I'm a huge fan of a brother on YouTube, Flemlo Raps. I love
what Flemlo.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
Flemlo does he does a lot of stuff. It's like an essay, and he does his homework. He's an ex-HBCU guy, so that helps. But there are so many other there's so many other legit folks out there, whether they're on the net, whether they're on other media outlets or what have you. And I think the thing with the mouse over the years, now, I think I told you the story. So the last couple of years I was there, they were the kings of the block. You know, they were the big bullies.
Yeah.
And they weren't benevolent kings.
Yeah.
It has gotten to the point.
They're not.
But see, here's what's always going to get ESPN over. They have live, you know, their live sporting events, especially the college stuff and the stuff that they put on ESPN Plus. They'll, you know, because they tap into those regional networks, which is another which is another story in and of itself with what they're going through. But the thing with them is
30 is excellent.
Oh yeah. Well, look, I'm biased when I say this because I worked on both. The two things to me, the two must-watch things on Mouse, other than the live sporting events, the 30 for 30, and when they do, now do they? I don't even know if they still do Outside the Line. Outside the Line.
15 minutes.
Yeah, and that's a shame because when Bob Lee was doing Outside the Line daily,
that was much watched.
On a journalism.
But there comes a time where Sanford and Son runs out of episodes.
As a network,
you know what's happening now. You know, starting Jalen Rose and Keyshawn Johnson runs his course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing is that when you purge income. Weber was on the Fab Five crew. Weber was on, TNT. He hasn't resurfaced after contract deals years ago. And Jalen Rose may have given a presentation, but you know he always has this thing like he was connected community wise by saying, "Hey, we'll give the people what they want." But it wasn't, you know, to me, a sophisticated tap dance. You know, to be frank, my viewpoint was a sophisticated tap dance because, you know, you portray yourself, you know, from the quote-unquote African-American, but it's really nothing there. And so it was an easy cut, all of them. And then if you've been in business, you can't, you know, sugarcoat and come up with philosophical, you know, hocus-pocus stuff about certain things like that. It comes down to money with business people. Disney's about money, M-O-N-E-Y. They're about business. They're not about, they're about the bottom line. We're paying these people too much money. Now, we need to cut, you know, these salaries and purge this. And that's exactly what they did. It's a business decision. Usually companies would always, and Tony, you know this, man, because, you know, you worked there before. They usually try to trim the behind-the-scenes staff, right? But they don't make the most money. You never improve your business model by keeping support staff and foundational staff and clipping them. They're always the first to get clipped, and then the higher income people stay on. You always start with the higher income every single time if you want to purge and do something better business-wise. And, you know, Disney corporate execs, you know, these people, these bean counters who make movies and do things with the whole Disney franchise, ESPN's a toy to them. It's just a part of what they do, right? Because Disney is the mastermind. ESPN is not a standalone.
It's not a standalone institution,
say like Fox. They're a subsidiary, period, of Disney.
And Eric, just one quick point. So the last years that I was there, to show you just how full of themselves that they got, they had come out with something called ESPN The Fragrance, and I remember sitting in the meeting when they were introducing that, and I had never wanted to walk out of a meeting more than that one day because it's like, why? Why?
Yeah, they were a standalone entity when you were there, you know. And then ABC, Disney is, you know, the apex predator of the whole operation. And then ABC, the network, right, is their secondaries. ESPN underlines all the two of those. You didn't see a person ABC. Yeah. You didn't see Michael Strahan or George Stephanopoulos or Robin Roberts having to be challenged. They went to their low – they went to the low-hanging fruit, which is ESPN and their corporatocracy. So if you look at it, you know, from a business standpoint, and just use the alphabets, A is Disney, B is ABC, C is ESPN, right? That they're the subsidiary of all these things. Disney could easily throw the switch and just, you know, bone up everything to ABC, right? Like the Wild World of Sports days, right? You know, just flood, just do the floodgates there, like when they do with the draft, you know, bring the networks in, they'll do those certain things like that. ESPN is a bastard to the Disney franchise, right? And if they're not making money, they got to go, you know? And they still have the money to dictate things. Disney uses ESPN as a promotional, right? You'll see Disney movies being promoted, ABC product being promoted through ESPN, correct? You know what I mean? And so you hardly see Disney. Disney does not push ESPN on any of their platforms, ever. Right?
They push Disney Plus. They push, matter of fact, Disney, they'll push Disney Plus, and one of the, things
they
that
they
use.
They don't push ESPN. They don't push it. So we got to be
ESPN
like, you know, when the people come here and they want to get the, you know, the rap, you got to be straight on camera, you know. We'd be some fanboy. Not saying anyone's here, because no one's here that way, of course, for the record, to keep that 100. But we're not no fanboys to the myth of the sports crap. It's manifestus when you're torching money. They're burning loot. Disney's like, yo, man, we can't continue to support this entity. They are burning money.
So,
you know,
Eric,
I mean,
let me ask you a question, Eric.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, they fire all these guys, right? They fire all these pretty bad, right? Now, what happens if their ratings drop? What happens then?
They're reformatting, right? They don't care, because they got the arbitrage known as Disney, right? And then underneath Disney, they've got ABC. So they got, you know what I mean? So they just paid this guy McAfee $85 million. So obviously they ain't tripping. So the bottom line is they're looking at where they're going to reposition their franchise. And see, what happened with the Sharp thing, you know, Sharp, you know, before he left or, you know, forced out or purged, how do you know? You know, Fox could have just cut him loose. They will buy you out. And he just, prior to that happening, you know, he had like, what, $1 million worth of merch stolen from his crib, right? You know, $1 million worth of personal goods stolen from his house. You know, you need, so you need to buy it to bounce out. But a lot of that rhetoric going on about being the tough guy, you know, there was allegedly, you know, SoCal's really interested in that, you know, about, you know, he got hit. He, and it was a clean hit, you know, for a milli. About a week, 2 weeks later, he's doing the buyout. You know what I'm saying? You know, okay, it could be coincidental.
Yeah, it could be coincidental.
But they're trying to move away from this debate TV bullshit. Right,
exactly.
That is ran. It's ran its course. Talk shows of nothing. Like, you know, who would have thought that Gary Coleman would have become an adult version of Keyshawn? You know, I mean,
they destroyed it.
Oh, it's terrible.
Because it was
absolutely terrible. All that talk shit that we see. These shows are horrible.
Yep. That's one of the reasons why I just watch live sports.
They are absolutely that get up thing with Max Kellerman. I mean, I can bear that for 10 minutes. I can bear 10 minutes of first take. I can just bear, because it's not really journalism. And so when you look at the recent, check it out. So, you know, I mean, this is such a broad topic, right? So if you look at what Bezos is doing with Amazon, correct? He's got MLB baseball streaming. The way they cover football, the visual coverage from the optics from a fan watching home is off the chain. It's off the chain. They got all kinds of Emmys, you know, Amazon for that. So they're rechanging the whole visuals of sport, which ESPN is not up on. Amazon, because they've got the best tech engineers, the best tech people running global. even the government wants to use their tech people. You know, that Prime thing they run, I mean, he's got some tech, and he was able to invest that in the visuals. So you may see some of these ESPNs pop up on, you know, Amazon. I think then with YouTube TV, you know, moving into the NFL, right, with the Sunday cast, YouTube TV also, you know, moving towards the NBA. They were heavily promoting that during the finals, right? You got Peacock streaming, Hulu streams MLB games. This network, they're losing steam. Fortunately, it's opened up jobs for many people, you know what I'm saying, who want to do all the different networks outside of these things, but they'll never get the visuals 24/7. They're gonna, but it's a shifting industry. They'll see these people at ABC. They're not stupid, right? They can see the future. They can see we got to start cutting here because these other entities and these streaming networks are outdistancing us. We cannot compete with the visuals that we're seeing, you know, the way Amazon covers football.
Absolutely.
You know, see, I mean, they can't compete. Like, Amazon is so light years ahead how they cover. I mean, Amazon Prime, the way they got the game channel, right? But the way they do the, you know, the fan coverage and the field coverage, incredible. And then they have that one channel that's almost like you are able to, like, play a video game, but it's not video. The way they can cover all the players and they kind of mark them where you can see their movements on the field. And it's just totally different. So if you're a person who doesn't understand football and where the all 11 go, they actually will show you the movements of all 11 players and every single freaking play, and it's not distractive. It's almost educational in a way.
And you know, the thing is, that's the thing I think is that's one of the things that I think has hurt the Mouse over the years in their coverage. You know, if something could be said while you're watching a live sporting event and they're trying to push you to watch SportsCenter, I mean, just the asinineness of that. I'm watching a live sporting event, and you want me to go watch highlights.
Yeah, and you're right about that, and you're right about that, because the thing is, it's like, okay, what is the coverage, right? After the game is over, it's over. I mean, I'm out. I mean, I'm not going to watch 30 minutes of what I just watched. Yeah. So that's dated. That's old. Because that's old now. So you can go, I mean, all that is dated, man. And so the thing is, that whole styling that they have, Disney is in the business of the Do-Re-Mi-Fa-Sol-La-Ti-Do. They're about to cheddar, man. You know, so they don't make no decisions about emotion or feeling good about something. No, what's the cheddar? What's the bottom line? And they are into heavy movie production, heavy streaming production, and a lot of other innovative tech. ESPN is like, again, their bottom line is to they support it. They threw money at these people. Cobra was there for 27 years and probably 20 years too long, actually. But, you know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, but if you look at the product, like, I mean, when you look at the product and what was being paid for the product, they know that they can make some shifts and movement and just, you know, bring in new talent, different things, different viewpoints and visions. But these other networks are just streaming, man. Like, you know, they're just pushing. And the other thing, too, is like TNT, you know, they've got the arbitrage, right? ESPN does not have control of the NCAA men's tournament. That's TNT. Right, with all their subsidiaries, right? TNT, TBS, they're working with CBS. They have the women's tournament, which is cool, but they have nothing to do with the big albatross. You know what I'm saying? Which is that. So the thing is, things have shifted and changed. They've never been able to get, like you said, 100% coverage of the Super Bowl. That's still network, right? And so there's
they'll never
just like the NCAA tournament too, correct? And so they get a piece of the NBA, but TNT's right there.
It's funny, Eric, because you know we all grew up. We all know what Monday Night Football was for our generation growing up.
Absolutely, right. Yeah, sure.
I mean, Monday Night Football is literally a bigger thing than an afterthought now.
Well, NBC runs that, right? NBC's ratings, Sunday Night Football dominates.
Sunday Night Football is the thing. Monday Night Football is literally, like, you know, to be quite honest, Monday Night Football is just basically one potato chip away from a Sunday, from a regular Sunday game.
That's why they threw all that money at Buck and Aikman. They threw all that money at them to try to do something. But Sunday Night Football is the beast in terms of ratings. You know what I mean? I mean, it could be the friggin' bang. I mean, I can't remember. We're out of the NFL season, but the Jets versus, give me another last place team, the Lions, and they're still going to do extremely well on Sunday Night Football. You know what I'm saying? Ratings-wise. But they also got the Peacock, right? Because the thing is, they also air it live at the same time with Peacock, which is another NBC subsidiary.
And now Peacock this year is going to get a live, going to get an actual live exclusive game this year.
Right, Peacock also does a live playoff game. Right, but Peacock does the football, right? And so does Prime.
Yep.
You know, Prime does. Yep. We can watch Juventus versus Milan live, and then flip that shit back to the Indians versus the Tigers. Saying, all of us do the same network, and they stream that Monday. They got the Thursday game, right? Al Michaels and Herb Street. So they got the Thursday night game.
Yes, the Thursday. Yeah, Prime does
the
Thursday
Amazon night
game. Prime.
Not
ESPN. Yeah, that's Amazon Prime.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's my point. So, the thing is, the mouse is peeling backwards, man. And the thing is, it's like when you hear about, one of these shows that come on in the morning, and they start popping off like, they're in the number one show. On a sinking ship? I mean, fuck. I mean, if I claim I'm the number one show on the Titanic and shit, what is that?
Really?
Yeah. It's funny, Gary, because when I was talking with Mike when we were show prepping today,
right.
I was telling him, I full disclosure, I do go to Indeed at times, see what jobs are out there. And the mouse has still got a slew of jobs there. I mean, they might as well put sucker on there because truth be told, we all know behind the scenes is a lot more stable than in front of the camera. But because of what they've been going through, they're starting to feel it too. Because I was telling Mike before, when I got canned there, when they fire folks, they don't just fire like one guy.
It's a departmental suite.
Because when I got canned, it was like me and three other guys. So it
when you go to the front line, when you go to the front line and start clipping, so-called names. Again, Disney doesn't see that shit, right? Disney makes movies with, fucking Tom Cruise or box office dudes get $40 million. Who the heck is friggin' Todd McShay when you're hiring these dudes to do movies at $10 million plus?
That's right, McShay. Yeah, that's right. That's right, Mike.
To some sports fanboy, but if they're going to do a $100 million production of friggin' Hulk.
Yep.
Right, which is a one-time shot. You think they're going to give it to them about some guy sitting behind a desk as a talking head?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Programming is part of the problem. Daddy?
I'm thinking about it.
Programming is part of the problem. The mouse became the rat when they first realized that they thought they could dictate policy to people. They would say, Tony would say, come watch us be ourselves and act cool while we read teleprompters and do highlights.
Exactly.
It's a live event. I'm like, are you out of your damn mind?
Hey Mike, you got dudes showing up there who have an IMDb card, which means you're an actor. You're an actor. You have an IMDb card. You're a fucking actor.
And not a very good one. And not a very good one.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. D-level. I mean, what they call these things, you know, D-level star on a soap opera that's, I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the moment you get an IMDb card, we can't trust shit you say because you're an actor.
No shit.
You don't understand the relevance of that.
Exactly.
You're no longer a journalist. You are an actor. There's people who only know Fred Williamson as the Hammer or Hell Up in Harlem or whatever else he was, Black Caesar. There's some people right now that would only know him as Black Caesar. They have no idea he got knocked out in the first Super Bowl as a Kansas City Chief.
They don't know that he was on Monday. He was on Monday Night Football for a while.
Jim Brown was slaughtered to many people.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, right there with Chuck Turner, Isaac Hayes. I mean, so in other words, there's people who don't even know these people were once jocks and shit, you know?
Fred Dreyer,
right, wasn't he a detective? Fred Dreyer played a detective
Hunter,
right? Mm-hmm. And he was a heck of a defensive end, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Eric? Please say Academy Award winning Chuck Turner when you say that, please. I mean, come on.
I'm sorry.
Christ,
sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, Tony, I just was not hypersensibilia, whatever that would join with. Hypersensibilia, Mike. Hyper. There you go. Hypersensibilia. Y'all help me out on the Isaac Hayes story, man.
Hey, Eric, I only speak three Stooges, so no, I can't help you.
Hyper sesquus. I'm gonna have to get fucking look it up before we finish
out. Mike, I'm gonna have to make a call to the weather folks again before this night's over with. I know I can see already.
There you go. I got Professor and Patrick Farrar with me, and Professor, I want to know for you, just like with Gay, when did the mouse become the rat as their programming continued to degrade? And great for you, Patrick, and good evening, gentlemen.
First of all, good evening. Second of all, I don't take the blame for none of this crap y'all talking about. The mouse becoming the rat is when they came on in 78, 79, whenever it was, whenever they started broadcasting. They've always been
1979.
Okay, they have always been the rat.
Here is in agreement with you, Fred. All of us in agreement that since the 79 the drive, and there's no fanboys here in the mouth at all.
Okay, so I understand. Point simply this. All they have done is they have gotten better with some of the content, but, you know, they went through a phase where, you know, they were stuck in. They allowed the HBCUs and the smaller schools. Because back in the 80s, I know they broadcast some Georgia Southern games, and they've always kind of went that way because they couldn't afford the big schools. Eventually, they rolled the smaller schools, one double A, a little bit of Division Two. And they probably never considered themselves speaking to the NEIs at the time, but they've always kind of gone in that direction. They built themselves up to be a superpower on smaller schools. Then all of a sudden they reached this point where they kind of bottomed out, and they started. As our parents would say, they started smelling themselves. But at the same time, the upper echelon began to break away from their from their masters and became what we call Power 5 or Power 6, whatever's left out there for those schools. And, you know, they had to step back and regroup. And then, you know, and then the last few years, they've kind of regenerated some of the exposure to the able to provide for HBCUs and other smaller conferences. But the reality is, you know, they were doing what old folks used to call sucking from the high pit. They've always been that bigger. We've always been given this bigger by assumption than we're by actuality. They reached the point that they started saying, basically, we are the football guys, we're the basketball guys. We determine who's great, who's not. And, you know, you look at some of the stuff that you have now, it's not that great. And because of that, you know, we got weak product. You know, and it's not all their fault. Certain things were allowed. I'm watching this kid that just got drafted, number one, and they're talking about how great he's going to be. So we're going to pay him money like he has already gone through the process of becoming great. And he ain't got it.
Well, that's been the plague for a long time, you know, with the projections of what a person will be, and it doesn't pan out, right? I mean, it's been a number, especially basketball, like a number of lottery picks. There's a number of lottery picks built on this future, and then they had to rewrite the contract. In fairness and full disclosure, what's that cat's name, Chris Fowler? He does, like, tennis, just a college football game. Now, they've done some things well. Well, Chris, and this probably goes back to your era, Tony, when Chris Fowler was doing High School Sports America.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You remember that? Indeed. Remember that was pretty good, right?
The last Sports America.
Chris Fowler will always get that from me for full disclosure. He did a feature on one of my star basketball players when I was a high school coach, right? And what was interesting about that, as simple as that may seem, it was like a 10-minute blur, but they sent people out. They did the camera thing. But what was interesting about that is I had a brother of mine who was stationed in Japan, you know, he and his wife. So they had a small ESPN feed, right, High School Sports America, that would go into the bases there. And my sister-in-law seen that excerpt, right? I would have never known, right? And she said, you know, I didn't even tell him I was even coaching. You know what I mean? At the time. They're like, hey, I didn't know you were coaching. We just seen this feed. So they did that well, you know, with the prep thing, you know, with how they raised up a lot of stuff like that. Yeah. That was, like, really genius. That's before it went Hollywood, you know, which it is now. You know, you got cats, you know, coming and doing the Hollywood thing. Then it became a dress thing. Then they went to the magazine and all these different scenarios like that. He's stripping cats down, talking about the body after the magazine wasn't really doing shit. You know what I mean? Then they started covering, like, the drafts initially. I think they covered the first, you know, they were covering the NBA draft. But it was, at that time, it was more of a journalistic tip. Now it's going, you know, like on the Showtime shit, right? You know, trying to be Hollywood. Everyone wants to have, you know, breaking news this, breaking news that, breaking news. And then to Mike's point, they weren't giving credit to those who did really break the news. Like a black athlete came up with something, or we brought up some product in our conversation. The next thing you know, it's mainstream. There was no credit, no acknowledgement, no words. Know anything like that. I mean, in any entity, you're not going to last, right, when you don't have those business principles. You're just not. And they would not have survived today if Disney didn't step up, right, because they were, you know, they got torched. They got bought out, and Disney said, okay, we can play with this toy, see what we can get with it, kind of stream some other stuff on our ABC networks and that and the other. But remember, there's a third fiddle in the whole thing, you know, under their ownership rights, right? And so all the different developments and levels of Disney, they see them as, if they ain't making money, we got to torch them. And they'll pay them well because they had the money to do so, but they've got to ride the Disney nut. It's non-negotiable. They have no leverage with that because Disney can just say, fuck it, we're going to buy Peacock or some other bullshit or create their own entity, their own special, but they're playing with this and they're redesigning it. So, you know, when you look at it and all the, you know, like you say, you know, you people are real proud about, you know, the certain people who may have been affiliated with them, this, that, and the other. I mean, come on, man, that's fanboy shit. You know, because the thing is, it's not Oprah Winfrey. It's got her own network, right? So we do a HBCU shout-out. Someone's an HBCU face on a television set. W-2 employee with no ownership rights. That's not Oprah Winfrey level. You know what I'm saying? When you do comparisons, that ain't Oprah Winfrey level. That's Charles. Okay, a guy got a nut, got a little bit of say, but he ain't moving on at that level of that guy, right, that we kind of talk to, that we try to inspire young people to do. You know what I mean? So the thing being, again, is that when you, you know, cut it out, we can't, you know, say, oh, what you're doing. Listen, bottom line, that's a corporate entity, man. If you're torching money, you know, we got to get rid of you.
The ESPN, between the rocks, because they refused to tell the rest of the story. When they came up with Black Magic, you know, I was proud in the beginning because, you know, I saw Fred for the first time. I'm like, say it, Fred, tell the truth. And the story was coming out. But we had the producer of Black Magic on the show. And we asked him straight up, did you get to say everything that was needed to be said? And the producer said, no. ESPN stopped all that. They didn't stop it on purpose, but didn't allow for it to continue. By the time Black Magic was over, somebody in the mouth should have said, John McClendon is responsible for the Four Corners. Not
so the way, so Mike, let me chime in on that. So the way it's done is that, okay, so, you know, Brother Dick Barnett and others, they did a whole motion picture, right? He said, so fuck that. We'll do our motion picture, which they did, right? And that did not spawn that team being nominated for the Basketball Hall of Fame. It was the work behind the scenes of Barnett and them because it was sugarcut. And I always say this, because what disappoints me, or because I'm – as you well know, closely associated with this for all the reasons we've discussed. So you don't have Black Magic if the brothers didn't put in the work. That's what always ticks me off.
Absolutely.
I mean, that someone will, thank you. That ticks me the fuck off because someone will step up and play Black Magic hero. Nah, the brothers put in the work. And where did you interview any of the brothers who put in the work? You know what I'm saying? Other than to try to, you know, because in our HBCU culture, we have these, you know, fanboy site, because like, they want to deal with all the natural greatness of what was being done. They pick and choose their portions, like, you know, the nigga shit, right? They keep it real. But then when you go back here, you know, Brother Barnetti's cast, okay, we'll put a whole motion picture together. You know what I'm saying? And then we'll just leave this in the icon. Then we'll directly tell our story, and we'll make it specific to us. We won't be bringing everybody else in the milk in the factor to try to prop up. When you do the percentages, you can't compete, right? And no one's here to play, we just won upmanship, or we got this better than you crap. But the reality is, that's what it is. You know what I mean? So you give a tainted version of what took place, like you just said, Mike. You basically say, yeah, it was good for novices, but it was a tainted version. It really didn't hit. Because you do not see these NBA TV, you know, filming Black Magic series. ESPN hardly runs it, too. But now there's a whole motion picture saga out there. The brothers in the Hall of Fame, right, they got, you know, I mean, Coach McClendon's in there three times. No one else is. No one. Contributor, coach, and his team. I'll tell you, anybody who's a coach with the ultimate, they were, all of us who ever coached and worked in a team environment, even in this environment here, Mike's running the show. He's been doing the podcast for years. You know, so he gets his contributor thing or he gets coach leadership. But I know Mike, who he is, if he had his entire crew and the people participating over the year going in mass, he'd appreciate that more than anything individual. That's the ultimate statement. When your squad goes in, the heck with me. My squad's going in. No one can say that. His squad is in. His contributorship is his coach. But no one in none of the Hall of Fames can claim that.
Hey, Mike, first of all, hey to everybody for number one. Hope everybody's okay. I'm still sick. I'm better from last week being sick, but I got my first workout today, so I'm getting a little better.
There you go.
And Patrick, a one-drink minimum the rest of the year.
Ain't gonna happen.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even drink, and I know that's not gonna fly.
Get here in front.
Yeah, man. Look here. I talked to somebody who puts media people, media information out, and you know, when it comes to ESPN, what happened over the week? Let me give you a precursor. There are about 17,000 jobs in media that was lost about the last 6 weeks before ESPN let those people go.
Correct.
Okay. Across the board. Yeah. Across the board. Matter of fact, I had one of my interns with me today in the studio, the summertime stuff we do, and I was pinpointing him that he has to sharpen his skills up because he wants to be involved with media. But I said, here's what you have to do with. There are about 17,000 professors out there looking for jobs. So if we want to give them what they got to do, you got to be better than they are, or good or better than they are. So it was, in relation to ESPN, that was all – actually, they knew it was coming. And the mere fact that the shareholders – two things killed them. COVID, number one, and technology. COVID because of the fact they lost $5.8 billion. Shareholders were not happy. That's the bottom line. If COVID hadn't hit, that's the people who got let go wouldn't have got let go with the contracts. COVID did that. Technology.
Yeah, COVID opened up stuff everywhere.
And technology is this. Guys got their own podcasts. People and here's the classic case. What's the guy that Pat McAfee is bringing in?
Yeah.
Pat McAfee has a package that they bought. I was under impression initially after I talked to somebody that they got rid of Pat. They bring in Pat McAfee and eliminate everybody else. Pat McAfee comes in with his own package.
Correct.
Eventually, that's what Stephen A. Smith is going to do. If Stephen A. Smith goes, Stephen A. is going to sell his package to the station. That's how he's coming in. But within that, you know, people had to go because that $5.8 billion in technology, because you have other entities streaming that you can get other people to talk, the same thing they're talking now with ESPN at a cheap price, and particularly for black entities, a much more upfront presence than in the past. I hate
when you add all the salaries up that were cut, it's well past 5.8.
Yes.
Right,
and they got more coming. They got more coming. That's why.
Well, see, McAfee's already developed his own base, right?
That's
so
it.
He brings his people with
point.
Him. So it don't. That's what they want. I mean, he's already built this thing without anyone. So he brings his network with him. Now, I'll give you another case in point. Jonathan Givony. Jonathan Givony is
the
NBA draft guru. Right.
Yeah.
He started Draft Express. I've got articles up on Draft Express. I work with Givony. I don't even mind outing it. He sent me an email how I could redesign his website. What, we ain't doing well? Shit. And then he took every note in that, right? Straight up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So Givony was with Draft Express, and then he had a really good Draft Express podcast, right? So ESPN bought him out, you know, his podcast out, his Draft Express website out. Brought him to become their draft guru, which is who he is, on their network. But his agreement was he couldn't do nothing else with Draft Express. He had to shut it down. But because of what he did with Draft Express is what put him on ESPN. So he was one of the persons who came from that realm, who had his well-established audience in advance, where these other people are like Hollywood. They don't have a well-established audience. And so when Sharp? That Club Shay Shay, he was doing work, right, with his podcast.
Shay Shay's doing big time, bro.
But, you know, the thing is, it's like initially it may have been Fox affiliated. I don't know. But the thing is that nothing's been done since he's left, right? I think Fox was up in front of that because nowadays when you sign these contracts with TNT, you've got to do a podcast. Like Barkley and Ernie Johnson had one. Shaq has his own, right? And then you have to do it. You have to do these things. It's all part of it. So ESPN, you got to work five things. You'll see a guy on the morning show. Then he's working at midnight to do the NBA game. And then he's got a radio show. And then he's got to pop up as a guest on those other multiple shows to get that check. They don't just pay you for one iota. You got to do like five, six things because they work them hard, ESPN. You'll see Stephen A. Smith on seven things. It's part of the contract.
Yep. But also, we all know Stephen A. brings in numbers. So that works. That works for them.
I'm starting to see some people go, the debate he's fading, man, and it's getting old. I'm starting to see Jalen Rose go.
He's in a fabulous job.
He was okay.
And I tell you who I'm surprised they let go. You know, Mike's favorite boy in the draft.
McNugget. He's an asshole.
I was surprised to let him go. I was surprised. Susie Gump, she been there since I had hair, boy. Come on, man, they let her go. So,
well, gentlemen, one of the things that I've been looking at, and I watched some of the highlights of the draft and all, and how all the, in the sense that the free agency and all that kind of stuff, you know, basketball, unlike football and some of the other sports, or baseball is getting that way too. They are so top heavy when it comes to paying players. You cannot afford to pay players, keep people who own what they call ownership groups and all those kind of things, where they're going to make billions. There's too much money being drained off, I'll put it that way, because I'm watching a few days ago, I'm watching, and they're talking about how different ones get paid. And here's a guy, he was supposed to be getting let go because his bottom line is going to be like $100-some million over the next 5 years, four or five years, I think what it was. But I'm thinking, wait a minute. You haven't increased. No matter what team you play on, you got 41 home games. You got to sell out all those games. You got to do the jerseys, the shoes, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And all this money is being placed on different guys' plates. One of them, they've been crazy like this. If he stays with this team, he is owed $210 million. And this guy was breaking down his game, what he could do, what he couldn't do. Hopefully he doesn't get injured, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, you got the guys like Zion and a few others who are getting guaranteed money, but they ain't even close.
Yeah.
And the NBA does have a collective bargaining feature, though, where they cannot guarantee the contract.
They'll get the money.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they cannot guarantee the contract. You know what I mean? So the thing is that, like, Zion and New Orleans moved to do, you know, we're not guaranteeing the money. You know, which, whatever those clauses are underneath, or what that guarantee is, unless we can see the contracts, you know, how that's written, you know, because there's some elaborate language in there. You really can't, you know, tell. It's like the NFL, right? You know, if you don't have the guaranteed money, they
got the bonus.
That don't mean anything, right? And we've seen that with McNabb signing that Redskins, at the time they were called the Redskins contract, where he had all that money and, oh my God, 140, but, you know,
that
guarantee. Right, they clipped him. They clipped him real fast. We've seen that with T.O., right? We've seen that with Michael Vick. You know, and so, you know, they'll clip those contracts. So in the NBA, like I said, you know, the salaries have gone up, you know, collective bargaining agreement is, and you sign these guys, signing these big free agent deals. But a lot of that, and, you know, Patrick, as you well know as well, it's all based on the TV contracts. It's all based on what TNT and ESPN throw at them.
TV contracts.
Now it's real game in town, so they got to overbid because Amazon can throw money at that shit, not even flinch.
There you go. And Amazon, and here's something else to look out for. I hate to say it, but there's about $650 billion that somebody wants to put in the U.S. sports. You know who it is? Them damn Saudis. You think golf is the one they want to go after?
The Saudis are interesting in the sense that they stay on their soil, right? So they don't do no American investiture. Mm-hmm. And what happens when Tiger had to walk away, this is where you put your Govy hat on. Right, because this is where you have to put your Govy hat on. Because as we said 1,000 times, NFL, MLB, NBA, CIA, FBI, ATF. All right, so let's not play bullshit games when so many of these government entities run sports or ex generals of security.
or ex, you know, secret agent.
That's like cocaine in the White House.
Right. I mean, Mello talked about that. He said when he talked to Stern, and Stern was running down his whereabouts and shit to a level that he didn't think. He said he knew then it was a federal co-op. So, again, anything federally co-op, they're not giving up that loot to the Saudis. That's why they keep it on their soil. That's really political there. I mean, we start talking about that at daytime. That's why they wanted to fund, you know, the soccer over there. And Tiger had to walk away from that money, man. I mean, he was like, shit. You know, I mean, the way they were going to throw it at him, he gets that phone call from the Secretary of State underling.
I got to ask the question. There's no way in the hell as much shit Donald Trump know on people these golf courses. We know the country club golf courses are where deals are made. You can't tell what the ham sandwich is going on about what's really going behind the scenes. And don't get me started with this betting. Oh, my God.
More NFL players busted and popped, right? And we were talking about that a few weeks ago. We said everybody's doing it. Every team's got someone throwing up the money in the betting.
I'm gonna tell you
everything.
That Saudi money, the reason why I know Saudi money is gonna be involved, Amazon's over there. The top 25 corporations in the United States have something to do with Saudis over there.
You gotta work with Dubai and them. You know, that's like basic, right? In other words, it's like we all know that, you know, they could buy out these sports teams and networks backwards, sideways, and forward.
Thank you.
Right, I mean, but they're not interested in that because it's chicken feed when you got oil money, right? But if you have an interest in certain things, you do. You have an interest in certain things. It's just like, Beyonce and these people. They can go over there and their Saudi prince and work a yacht party for their 17-year-old son and come back with 10 milli. You know, it happens all the time. They've been doing that. But that's a little different business entity too. But at the same time, man, you got to account for that money when you cross that U.S. border, man. You get taxed on that.
Yep. Yep.
It's not free Del Rey Mi Fa Sol La Tito. Okay, you go over there and you, like we've seen that with Messi and these guys in soccer, right? And in football, as they call it, their soccer in the States. Messi got into all kinds of tax problems in his native country for the money he was paying over in Spain. So you got to, you know, there's some complexities, man. And that's why when people hear that, they get caught up in the, you know, that fanboy bullshit. But we got to break it down to basics that it's just not a free pass.
Yeah. It's coming. Mike, I'm gonna throw some out at you guys. You know, I said last week you're gonna like it. Unfortunately, the lobbyists are at it again, man.
And I am.
Well, Pat McAfee is good.
Boy, did you like the governor of New York? I forgot her name. Has a legislative decision on NIL. Okay, wait a minute. What you know? Some lobbyists have been down to D.C.
But Patrick, did anyone ever think that was going to go without legislation? Come on now.
Come on, man.
It could be like Missouri, but it's on them black athletes.
If you go ahead and protest, we're going to take your scholarships from you. It could be like Missouri did.
You got Calipari, right? You think Calipari's benefited in many ways? Where Calipari's losing now, right, because he'd always get the best athletes. Now they're going anywhere in NIL.
Yeah.
As part of that, he's also testifying on the travesty of NIL.
Come on, man.
I mean, this is a systemic thing. You think NIL was ever not going to be legislated? This was a short window.
Eric, in California, didn't they just kill a bill where they wanted to have a student lobby union in California?
Got a union working.
Them lobbyists, them presidents, and them politicians, we got to stop some of this.
Well, the thing is, you know, when you start seeing, like, you know, a guy with, you know, the local deli deal, the local auto deal, and then a person like those twin chicks in Florida, you know, play for Miami, and they get Millie. NIL, right? Millie. What's this chick, Caitlin Clark, Iowa? Millie.
Iowa. Oh, yeah. Millie. Stupid.
Oh, man.
Reese,
I'm making more money in Cthulhu than the WNBA. Shit, I'm staying right here.
Yeah, that's Reese, right? LSU.
Reese.
Lady from LSU. Yeah, she's getting
that. Look, the chick that played pro ball just got a $200,000 raise. She said, hell, I'll make that in one day. Reese.
That's
legislation, man. What's like almost automatically coming, man. Because then you've got the haters, some kids. Well, you know, the majority of young people who go to college are in student loan debt, right?
Yeah.
Great majority,
mm-hmm.
right? So the
all those
all
of them making $500,000, they're paying
out. All those student loan debt students, they're really paying for everything, right? Because you know, loans are paying for that shit more than that. And they're seeing guys, you know, who they think are suspect passing the SAT, getting money to play sports, and they're in loan debt. It's just not going to work long term, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other part of that, they got to deal with it.
For now, but it's
Patrick, here's my question, Patrick. Yeah, hey, but Patrick, here's my question. It seems like podcasts now are the easy way to go when it comes to these big time sports channels. How if you got your own audience and you bring a podcast in, then you cut down expenses right there.
I tell you what, one of the biggest broadcast companies in the South is Liberty Media. And guess what Liberty Media and the Braves are doing? The Atlanta Braves, the hottest team in baseball, they splitting. Because the fact that because the Braves are going to make their own deal in streaming. And Liberty Media can't get much of it.
Washington Nationals and the Orioles.
Well, I mean
YouTube
TV deal
right
as well,
now.
Right?
Nationals and Orioles.
I mean, YouTube
like
TV is owned by
million
Google.
Dollars.
Oh, yes.
YouTube TV is owned by Google. I mean, you know, so Google has endless, bottomless pit wealth.
Yes,
you know what I mean? It's like Amazon. So YouTube TV's now got NFL Sunday Prime. Right.
And that's, guess what? Eric hit right in the head, Eric. I'm looking at it, brother, because you get all the outside of your state games. I'm going to get every Cleveland Brown game I get. Right price, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, YouTube TV and shit. I mean, it's like ESPN. I mean, they don't have that Sunday Prime package, right? So if you're betting, right, in this betting world or FanDuel and all this other stuff, and you need to get, when they get into the red zone, you need to watch the score off the YouTube TV. I got money on the line, so that's going to bring an incredible amount of traffic to YouTube TV because they get. I mean, I can hear. I mean, these guys. They do that Sunday Prime well. That red zone shit is off the chain. I got a bit.
It is. It is.
I got. I mean, that red zone thing, man. It's like when you watch the red zone, next thing you know,
you better be right. No, that's exactly
right?
it.
I mean, red zone, man.
This speaks to the other part of the equation, the rise of independent sports entities coming in and causing problems for the mouse. That's why they had to cut all those folks go. I mean, 20 people at the salaries that they were at, that was a lot of fat.
You're approaching 100. You might be at 100 mil plus with the salary cut, so that's Trump to 5.8.
And Mike, you know what else? We're not talking about the engineers, the graphic artists, but other production people behind it. They're getting cut.
Right.
That's the killer.
That's true.
Well, yeah, because you got to recruit, man, because the one, like I said, one thing YouTube TV has, Google, owned by YouTube TV, right, Amazon have, they got the best tech people.
Yeah.
They got the best tech people, man, and they got the tech people that the government, you know, works with for all kinds of other reasons to try to bring them online for hackers and shit. So they pay for the tech because the tech that they're packing with is non-competitive with these people. I mean, these guys can deliver overnight any kind of merch practically, right? Practically. And so the thing is during the pandemic, you know, when everyone else was struggling, you couldn't go anywhere. Those orders, man, them Whole Food orders and those Amazon Prime orders got way up. Right, because they were doing home deliveries everywhere, all over the place, and you can't compete with that. Plus, they got into sports. I mean, the Richard Sherman crew, they got Whitmire, you know, they were okay, man. That was Tony Gonzalez and those people. So I'm certain some of those ESPN heads are going to matriculate to that network. You know
also,
what I mean?
Valley Sports.
Yeah, exactly. But Amazon knowing and Google, what they're doing with sports, man, don't let, you know, like Facebook get in the game, whatever, they may try to bring in as well. But right now, they've just got the access and the audience because YouTubers themselves, you talk about podcasts, it's YouTubers that can make 5 milli on some dumb
exactly.
shit, just like TikTokers.
Yeah.
I know a chicken TikToker, man. She does bags, making about 100K a year off that shit. Just rating
you know,
bags.
And your point about
women's
TikTok,
bags, I'm sorry.
TikTok can use the visual platform similar to the NFL red zone because of the nature of how they produce their visuals. They could do that. Something.
See, that's the scary part.
I mean, the Sin is bringing, you know, TikTok on the table for, like, you know, being a spy agent of China, this, that, another, whatever it may be. But the point
they ain't going nowhere.
No. They're still going. They're going strong. But the point of the matter, these other places, they're outdated. I mean, no one's into the so-called personality talking head crap.
That's just it.
Limited, that's a limited amount of people. That crap is old. A limited amount of people.
The mouse gambled on personalities.
Yeah,
they thought
garbage.
You're going to be popular just like your favorite radio station, and they lost because
that's the bottom line. Howard III, right? Where's he today? Nowhere. He's still
exactly.
on, man.
These men and women didn't know what the fuck they were talking about.
Correct.
Mike, that's the bottom line. The people have lost. Let's moonwalk. The very nature of the expansion of sports visuals and media is based upon radio and how radio presented media, particularly sports media. Well, that,
mm-hmm.
like you said, that mouth has changed. It has changed. As a matter of fact, the radio part of ESPN has really been damaged.
To your point, Patrick and Mike, I thought Darren, well, yeah, it'll be my opinion. Darren Woodson, I thought gave good analysis when he came.
Yes.
You know, he did.
Yes.
I thought he gave good analysis.
Yes.
I watched him come on a morning show because I'm not going to give it no credit because as we talked before, if you're pumping up being number one on the Titanic, and I don't know if that's a compliment or not, right? If this, in Michael Ray Richardson's words, the ship be sinking and you say you got the number one show, my goodness, freaking gracious. Where is Sly Williams when you need his ass? You know, and so with that being said, you know, he's come on, you know, and a morning show, and a guy started talking about his watch or how his necktie blended with his suit. And I was like, I mean,
is that, it's like
what
that now?
The fuck is that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
want to get
yeah.
into like a personal, you know, garment or how they're dressed as opposed to their analysis or make personal assessments of whatever you didn't like what they said. Oh, you must be on drugs. You must be eating something.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What part of the game is that? See, that's that personality. See, I've shared this many times. Good times can come on for 24 hours these days. Right? On one of those networks, right? We can watch JJ at friggin' nauseam. So bad they ain't getting a cut on it and shit. You know what I'm saying? But we can watch them at nauseam. So a lot of times the people who watch the show, who were never up on these shows, who see this as a novelty, they're looking at Kid Dynamite and that persona and that attitude on morning television show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the same dynamic.
Let me ask you, everybody ain't Shaq Barkley and Kenny Smith. That's over for them.
Yep.
But guys, here's the question I want to ask. When is somebody going to get Chrissy Everett again as Jim Rome? I mean, Mike and
Jim
I
Rome
talk about
still
this
on
and they're going to Hey, here's the thing that got me was that when you had Joe Paterno's punk ass son, and Mike, you talked about this, standing right there at the set, and Stephen bitch ass Smith bitched up and had every opportunity to lay into his ass. But yet, when you had Ray Rice situation where he smacked his wife, and he had to apologize to women for comments he made then.
Worse than that, Reggie? They co-signed
sir.
On Papa Joe when it first happened.
Thank you.
Would Paterno do this. The dude on Fox and the name you just mentioned, they co-signed. And there was this dude named John Ritchie, right? He's supposed to be
going to bat for his ass.
Or something.
Yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
Remember him? He was on that show.
Yeah.
And I remember the three of them, and we banged hard on the Sandusky thing. nonstop yes. bombardment, the network, all that shit precursor. No one was even talking that way. And those same three we talked about, they were co-signing on Paterno. They, yep. oh, not Papa Joe. Oh,
yeah,
not Papa Joe.
He laid in the back of the van
oh,
trying to
not Papa
the
Joe.
Right.
And they show
well,
when Al Pacino did the movie, you know, playing Paterno, which is excellent on HBO. They did a
oh,
great drama on
please.
That. You
oh,
know,
please.
And it ended like this. It ended with, you know, again, Pacino playing Paterno, which he did a great job of, as always, because that's who he is. But it ended
yep.
with him filled in a phone call from someone who complained about Sandusky to him 20 years before the incident. So he had 20
yes.
years running start about complaints.
Mm-hmm.
And those people you mentioned, they rode with them because they operate from the premise that the sporting public is stupid and they forget. And that's how they operate.
Damn,
so they'll say anything.
Like
they'll say anything and side with anything. All of a sudden they'll change things around, like hammering the brother, like get off the weed and all those kinds of condescending statements like that.
Dang.
But you
yeah.
show up, but you'll show and promote a piece of shit show like Power, which is all about drugs
yeah.
and black-on-black crime
mm-hmm.
and destruction. And you'll appear on that. And you'll promote
oh, yeah.
that. You'll promote a drug-reading show on black. I always say black-on-black crime matters everywhere, but on network TV. Now, all of a sudden, it's not black-on-black-on-crime. But there you are co-signing on that shit. But we're all hypocrites and stupid, man. We got mm-hmm. the drop, man.
But
you know, we're not
to
here to expose
when it comes
you. Don't
to
really
a race car driver family shooting up the family. It ain't white on white crime, then.
Exactly.
You know, but that's
NASCAR. If I show up with Ron O'Neill on Superfly, you know what I'm saying? And you know how you tell that brother who fucked up the deal? You know how many scholarships you want me to give you? You know what I'm saying? You know, so the deal.
That's
so the deal. Yeah, so
like
I'm with that.
You paid a mother of too fucking much money. How much more money does she want? The FBI
boy.
Had his ass on tape.
and then all of a sudden I go, oh, no, we can't be doing drugs. No, don't be doing drugs. Drugs is a bad deal. When I'm on Film for Life, you know, promoting that kind of movie and mayhem in our community.
Yep.
This is what we talk about here, and these are all facts. So if someone wants to sugarcoat that and come to the art, because the moment you get an IMDb card, you are an actor. You're
yep.
no longer a journalist. You are an actor.
Entertainment.
I'll give a modern day
like Fox News. We entertain.
He should be on TV. How can a guy go to jail, spend time in jail,
mm-hmm.
on a Ponzi scheme and gambling?
Oh,
new time,
carton
come
dude.
Back,
yeah.
And call, I'm going, how the hell can what? What?
If it ain't easy, family. If it ain't easy.
And he sucks on air. And of course, he can legitimize things because he got two brothers working with him.
Yep.
Wait, but Patrick, how is it that Mr. Stephen A. Smith bragged about he the number one show, and Pat McAfee gets twice his salary and comes in with a podcast? Unfucking believable. He got his wake up nigga moment, as the late Paul Mooney says. Wake up, nigga, wake up.
What they're saying is we're moving away from you.
Exactly.
Period.
And that's
it's kind of like the guy on the block, right? If it's number one chick, you know, I mean, sitting in the front seat now, and his number one money earner is like in the back seat. Come on,
yeah.
And that's why
Charles Barkley was laughing, saying, "Yeah, I work at ESPN, and drive me crazy, and then don't pay me shit." I know, oh, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Charles
yeah.
was cracking on that.
But believe me, Reggie, Stephen A. You see, they're doing the same thing. That Maccabee is getting at ESPN or someplace else. He's gonna do the same thing. That's what he's trying
sometimes.
To do.
Sometimes you water yourself down and run down. So when you have the what's that? The Emmy version of sports, right? They got the Emmys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Of the best networks. None of those shows ever get nominated because it's not true journalism. You know,
it just amazed me when we had Keyshawn Johnson outspoken. Yeah, I was just saying, we had outspoken black people that get
serious
with the issues.
Well, Jimmy Ray, they did a special with Jimmy Ray, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy Ray, the former, you know, coordinator, played in that Michigan State game with the black quarterback.
Yeah.
From Fayetteville, Fredstown. They did a feature on him that won the award for the Emmy. And, you know, I looked it up because I just wanted to see who the winners were. And it wasn't on a major network. I forgot what channel it was on, but it was exceptional.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely exceptional.
Jimmy Ray,
you know?
Jimmy Ray was ahead of his time. And guess
but
what?
It was, but the documentary was exceptional. I mean, it was outstanding. So some of the programming, like NHL hockey, right? So that's on NHL TNT, right? They got love on that.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's not on the mouse no more. They cover the Stanley Cup. And so
they shifted
and moved away from that, where because that personality thing, that, you know, that trying to laugh at someone's joke or how they talk about somebody, it's not journalism. Riding with Paterno, knowing it was, that's criminal, you know what I'm saying? All the people that suffered, no one slapped the wrist. So, and that's the same thing. See, we're, you know, Jalen, you know, he played himself, unfortunately, you know, and he got into that bounce. Yeah. And then what happens is he had an unfortunate video of his sister filming him selling his mom's house and calling her
his crib. That was his biological sister.
But what I'm saying is these people make decision calls on chump shit like that.
Yeah. His sister, that's messed up on her part. Believe me.
Hey man, it's a coin, but it's still a coin flip, right? And you know, and the thing is, you gotta finesse these things. That's where someone like LeBron, none of that's on him, right? He has no dossier that way.
Mm. Yeah, he's been great. Really watching.
That's my point. So the thing is, like, we're alibi. At what point do we get alibied out?
It don't happen.
Serious, man. At what point?
It don't happen. In this life, what they say, you don't go clean. Somebody will find a way to dig some dirt up on your ass. If not, dig up dirt. So throw some dirt. If not, throw some dirt.
You know what I mean? Start cutting checks or whatever it may take, you know, to do.
Yep.
Because, you know, the thing, the point of the matter is, it's like we can alibi all day long. You know, like they showed this thing. I watched this episode with Billy Martin, Reggie Jackson, you know, when they had that thing.
Yeah.
He pulled him from right field for not hustling and shit.
He confronted
Reggie when he came in from Boston.
Yeah.
What did Reggie do? What did Reggie do? He took off his glasses
off.
But guess what? He never put them back on.
Yeah. Which meant what was going to happen.
Yeah. Which means that when someone says put your glasses back on and you do it, you'll never live that down.
Yep. And then on top of that, Billy was happy that Elson Howard stepped in. That's all.
Yeah, Reggie took him off like and never put him back on.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because Billy was always a tough guy. Billy, sit your ass.
Put your glasses back on. Scrambling fast. Where they at?
Yeah,
young people watch this. They make a statement, right? Young people look at that and go, from my world, people I know and the conscious young brothers that are doing shit, they be like, why are they putting glasses back on?
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't hit a man with glasses.
That's for GP.
Yeah.
I'd have kept them off just for GP.
It's a
young warrior spirit.
That's what Billy was about.
Now the handkerchief heads who want to jump on another brother for pointing stuff like that, they're gonna be like, "Nah, he ain't mean nothing like that. He needed to see his script."
Yeah.
Camby Belongo mean River, said Kunta.
Gentlemen, just to be prepared for the another round of redundancy outside of talking about Lillard and my man and with the Sixers.
Harden, James Harden.
They've already started now the 2-week precursor to the football camps. I don't see how so many people are getting paid to be producers, because what they're talking about is the same stuff they talk about every year. The predictions which never worked out.
No.
They're already on the DAC attack. The guy ain't played a game yet. I mean, come on. It really pains me these 2 weeks before camp starts because they got nothing to talk about. And producers aren't being creative about doing. I know about 4 or 5 things they can do to make things creative. But, you know.
But Patrick, that's also part of the problem with the mouse and problem with Spread the Purge. The mouse has been recycling bullshit for years. And when you recycle bullshit, it can only go but so many times before you got to flush it down the drain. ESPN's editorial content washed itself down the drain. They had nothing relevant to talk about.
How many
about.
Times have they stole from Gary and this network? How many times have they stole from you guys? You said I'm in the chat room. Stealing shit all the time.
I can remember Gary calling me up saying, they stole our show. I'm like, say what?
They stole our shit. Gary said, they stole our shit, man. They stole our shit. I remember you, Big G.
They stole my shit.
I
remember I sent a recording from one. I remember I sent a recording to Mike from one of those morning shows, right, that was verbatim of what I shared the night before. Verbatim.
Yeah,
verbatim, and it wasn't a stereotypical like type statement, you know, like a basic like, yeah, you know, LeBron had a triple double. It wasn't no shit like that. It was literally you had to totally comport that. I've sent
you had to
back in like New York Post articles, just verbatim. Verbatim,
and then when
we do the dates, right? It wasn't prior. It's always after what was said that this new language was being dealt with by people. Yeah, all the time. Right, like tonight will be a whole show and a whole excerpt dedicated to something that was brought up here. It'll be a whole topic.
Oh, yeah. They're working. That's like when we talk about very good work conservatives, and we heard them say that. I said, they're stealing the shit again.
We pounded HBCU stuff on this show. Pound HBCU, pound TSU, pound it. You know, write books on who should be in the Hall of Fame, and then boom, it started happening afterwards. So, yes, it's awesome to be the catalyst that you have, but again, there's got to be problems with it, and you're not even making money. Even though you're purging, even though you're biting left, right, front, and center, you're blowing cash. You know, your network is not making it. It's financially in arrears. There's no way you can't sugarcoat that and come with some mastermind shit of what they're doing. Come on, man. At some point, when does the fanboy stop?
My question, Eric, because you're in California, right? I'm looking at some notes here I wrote down, man.
Okay. Yeah, right. And here's Sacramento HQ, government.
What about the California Classic that got out to L.A.?
It's going on right now.
I'm looking for a team play.
That's a good point. So,
from Iowa, what's his name? Is it in the league also?
Marquez, the dude from UCLA got the Heat's number one draft pick. Marquez, he's played really well, right? Keegan Murray, right? He was the rookie last year.
Keegan Murray, that kid is good.
He has a twin brother. Yeah, he's doing well. You know, he's playing really well for the Kings, summer league team. This is a whole show in itself. The brother from Alabama. Ingram,
Brandon?
Right? You know, yeah. Brandon yeah. Ingram, right? I don't know if his name was Miller. Brandon Miller or Ingram? I think it's Miller. Which was his last name again?
Brandon Ingram.
Okay, good. He plays in New Orleans, right? I think it's Brandon Miller, right? Miller from Alabama.
6'8".
Yeah, man. Ooh wee! What a draft pick to go number two. Can the Bobcats, the Hornets, ever get it right? Because he's still not out the weeds from that shooting there in Alabama. You know what I'm saying?
And they were killing your girl, Malik Andrews, by bringing it up. They brought it up that night. Come on.
Yeah, maybe she. Well, you know what? She didn't do her job. She brought it up
on a real journalism tip, but yeah, that's a that's a fickle one because one they need to. That's why Van Gundy had to go. They had to promote the product, right? They're paying so much money for the NBA. Van Gundy spent his whole lifetime bitching about the referees because he's never going to get an NBA coaching job. So he had to go. He knew he was never getting a job. My God, he was just bitching on the referees every single second. Mark still held his post and shit, which was cool. You know, but the thing is, Mark's outstanding. But so Jack West, you know, he's looked well. Keegan. You know, the other entries, you know, again, Brandon Miller, man, he's got the capabilities, but that cloud, though, that cloud, you know what I'm saying? Because at some point, you're going to have to face that jury. They're going to have a trial, you know? And for a number two pick, you know, he can play, but wow, you know, so innocent to proven guilty, right?
In that case, what they've done in years I've been around, NBA, mm-hmm. and they're going to get a PR company to work around him.
They
besides with the team to craft.
Yeah, and that's where what's the name screwed up, Malika Andrews, because the facts are out. You know, there is no charges. You know, yet. You know, there's an affiliation. It's what Alabama police have said about the incident. But he's playing with that energy, you know what I mean? Because it's not the full clearance yet. But, he looks the part. And then again, just a bunch of guys. I was glad to see Gabe Vincent, you know, from Miami get his money because he's a local kid from Stockton, California. You know, he played with Miami. He works out here all the time. He works out with a longtime associate of mine, Gus Armstead, who's a basketball trainer whose son is Eric, you know, that plays with the 49ers, you know. Gus and I.
Didn't he go to Stanford?
Which kid is that? Eric went to Oregon. He went to Oregon. Yeah, he went to Oregon.
Okay.
He played against your boys in the national championship game.
Oh, yeah,
Ohio
the big
State.
6'9 kid.
Yeah, big Eric.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's done tremendous work in the community, man. I mean, just with support mechanisms. Eric, you know, like I said, I've known him since he was like about 8 or 9 year guys. You know, his father used to put him on the SPDL, you know, teams I used to coach. You know, when Phil Handy, you know, with the Lakers, he was out there. I always tell Phil, you know, you've never beat me, MF-er. And he laughs and shit. That's another story. Because Phil's a great basketball trainer. But to your point with the Golden Classic, California Classic, yeah, cool little run. They thought they were going to get, like, you know, crazy pay because they thought Wembanyama was going to start, you know, his debut out
Friday.
Here. Yeah, they shut him down to Vegas. You know, NBA's saying, nah. We got to do the Vegas debut. You know, when we get to, they're going to sell that place out. And then, but the tickets were super high for the Wembanyama debut. And it's amazing the amount of crowd that they've had for those games. I mean, these are easy money makers. I mean, they're playing right now.
Money, yes, indeed.
Oh, my goodness. The NBA is racking the heck up because they have this great promotion, right? They'll say the Heat versus the Kings. And you've got two players out of the 30 they may carry for summer league that may see NBA run. They're just wearing the uniforms of the team. So it's really a great opportunity for these free agents and younger players to get some shine, get some national coverage, and, you know, keep those little jerseys before they shoot to the Philippines and play professionally, right? A lot of them or wherever they may go. But that's a great promotion for the NBA because they are racking up, man. And the Wembanyama tickets were very expensive. You know what I mean? When he was allegedly going to do his debut in this classic, he was ready to play. You know, they pulled him. They pulled him, the promotional thing. So then they dropped their ticket prices a lot. So, yeah, it's a good question. But hoop is hoop, man. You know, I can watch a seventh-grade Biddy League game of his basketball, man. I ride by a partridge and just his ball. But great money maker for the league. The way they promote this is wow.
And that's what I want to follow up. It concerns me how the game is. I know the game schematically has changed because the physical makeup of the game has changed. Guys not staying 4 years. And, of course, guys, because of the AAU system and the development of players in other leagues besides in NBA, the guys that are coming out in this classic, you said most of the guys are going to make it. But is there a development in the game that extends?
Uh-uh.
Just that's what it is? It is what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I mean, in other words, the thing that has always intrigued me about the summer leagues, and I go back to the Vegas summer league before it was on the mat, right, when like only 20 teams would show up, right? And the first one I went to was the Odin Durant draft, right, when they were rookies.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, literally. They were rookies,
good
man. And I'm sitting here, you know, Tom Janovich is to my right, Nelly's to my left. You know what I mean? Dwayne Casey's behind me, and Joe Dumars, for all these cats. And, you know, the thing that I learned quickly about the NBA, that there's a myth that the brightest basketball minds are in the NBA coaches' staff. That is a friggin' myth.
That's true. That's
my
true.
Goodness, that's a myth. You know,
that's
I remember
true.
Going with Eddie Jordan when Eddie was, you know, coaching, right? You know, the Kings, this and that and everything. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I was coaching. I've been coaching the pro development for so many years that I was still active back then. And he was giving us, you know, me and some other coaches, some NBA players, plays to run, you know, to keep the integrity of the game since it's some, you know, pro summer league. And, you know, I had some questions about, you know, plays off the side of the plays. And it was kind of interesting to get his feedback. But the thing is, what you learn quickly, even when you watch the summer league, they're playing the NBA style, right? They're playing NBA rules and regulations. They're using the summer league this year to try to, you know, to figure out the penalties for flops, right? They've instituted some kind of flop rule. So they're going to try it during the summer league. But what you see out here is that, okay, all these guys can play, right? I'm going to play collegially. You know, may have had a little overseas run, this, that, and the other, European run. But what you find out quickly, pretty quickly, is how they struggle with the NBA-style game, right?
Mm.
I mean, they struggle. Mm. They super struggle, right? You'll see you watch these pro summer league games, it's like 47-39 going into the fourth, right?
Mm.
Those players are so good at the pro level, you know what I mean? And regardless of how a person wants to, you know, define an era of who was best, this, that, and the other, these movies, they're really good. I mean, I seen a stat the other day where Fournier, he rided on the Knicks bench. I don't know what Thibodeau was thinking about. You know what I mean? Because he needed shooting, right? Evan Fournier? He couldn't get no run in the playoffs. And they were struggling with shooting, right?
The kid left. The kid, they just traded to Indiana, goes to Indiana. Some boys
I mean, Fournier, man, was like, I mean, you need some shooting. He's sitting on the bench. Fournier has made twice as many threes as Larry Bird in a career.
Yep.
And he's still playing.
Mm-hmm.
So no one's going to think about Evan Fournier in the same capacity as Larry Bird, but you got to weigh in and realize there's a guy over there from France that's actually, when you think of Bird as a three-point great shooter, this, that, and the other, sure, Bird's 650-something three-pointers based on the game time, you know, with more clutch or whatever it may have been. But still, numerically, he's behind Evan Fournier as a career, and Evan Fournier still got years ahead of him. Players have more skill in a lot of ways than just the elites are so much better.
Much
but,
more skill.
Yeah, much. Oh, I mean, LeBron, I mean, can you imagine John Havlicek trying to handle LeBron?
No chance in hell.
Clyde Frazier cannot chase Jordan. And he's considered a great defender. Jordan would be 60 at the half on Clyde.
Oh, yeah.
Since you can't touch him.
Anyway, that too. But the point being is, it was a little more physical. You can still hand check, you know, during the Jordan eras, right? But in terms of the skill, but you can't knock the earlier players, right? Because I always say, if you're before another player, you're still the elder, you're still the predecessor.
So you still got to get the first
props, right? But still, I've watched some of these games, bro. Like, I mean, I've seen some dudes, like, just, like Gabe Vincent locally, right? Now he's going to go with the Heat, you know, when, what's his name was playing? You know, the white kid, Hero. And they started Lowry, right? But then they brought Vincent in, and he was putting in the work. And the same thing, like a guy like Jeff Green, he was also part of that first summer league thing I was seeing with Odin, Durant. That was his rookie year as well. Jeff's still going. You know what I'm saying?
That's
they were all part of that wrong year. Yeah, exactly. You know, and so the thing is that then you see the guys that were going to come up, like what's his name, the brother that did the chicken wings thing during the bubble thing, the brother that took all the heat. Remember that? Lou Williams, right? I seen Lou. He's out of high school. I seen Lou at the summer league. You know, that was just a rookie year as well. You know, he's fresh out of high school. And he was just putting in work. And it was the same thing where we see the overrated thing Fred talked about, because E. John Lin, remember him from China? They were hyping him up, the 6'9".
Yeah.
He went to Philly, like the 9th pick. He lasted his rookie contract. That's it.
Yeah.
He was gone. Yeah. Randy Foy was putting in work out there, and he was in, like, the high pick. So you can kind of see those dudes that were coming, like, at Bane, like this kid Bane from Memphis. Like, a few years ago, when he came into the assembly, he was tearing it up.
That's
translated with Memphis.
They're on Green did that in, because in 2013, when the Grizzlies were in effect, they should have put together a plan to get Yao Ming. There were a couple of the Asian players in the league, but they were not even average. Ming was a big man, and he would have dictated a full house, because they filled the house.
Absolutely.
In spite of how bad the team was. Yao Ming would have anchored the franchise for years. But, you know, what does this little black guy know? All of a sudden, they're in Memphis. Well, aside from all that, it's been some great food for thought. And as we get ready to settle our appetites sports-wise, there's no purge here, but there's a mouse purge that, even as we speak, the decon is still being sprayed. Reggie,
I love the term purge, man. I mean, purge is just the perfect guy.
Where's my home? Not leaving. Need him for roach spray.
I don't want you to live with roaches.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Go, Reggie.
Yes, sir. Well, we've had mass shootings, and it's not even hot. We're just in July. We had Baltimore, Philly, and God knows the ones that haven't been reported. But what's the common denominator in all of these? That they have people walk around with liquid courage, or they got a beef. The sad part about it that I see, that you have these people, these mouth jockeys on TV, radio, and internet that are trolls that are bringing negativity, which fuels the ignorance. And I'm still waiting for Mr. Stephen A. Smith to get his wake up nigger call. And I think it's starting now with Pat McAfee. And I don't think we're waiting that much longer, because I think it's just a matter of time. All I'm saying, gentlemen, Mr. Deion Sanders has already seen that the wolves are circling. Anonymous coach says he's in a lose-lose situation. And we ain't talking about his foot. We talking about his team.
Mm-hmm.
All I say is that they lose.
Unfortunately.
If they get off and be 0-6, he's going to have a long off season. Just
well, that's something we spoke on, man. You know, I mean, you can't have that level of turnover. And the challenges to your physical, first of all, you know, it's going to be a miracle just to finish the season on the sideline. That's not, you know, chicken feet surgery. It's a lot of pain.
Yep.
There's a lot of recovery that comes from that, you know. And we talked about the health thing. You know, I wish the brother well, and, you know, recovery, all that. We're not an ill will operation. You know, these other brothers do kind of, like, raise them up, actually, by being kind of stern with their dumb shit. But, you know, like I said, man, the Colorado health plans is a lot better than Jackson State. and there's a feeling that some people are feeling schnickered, like, hey, he knew coming in he's going to have some procedures. That's another challenge, you know. Yeah, you know how the other man thinks.
Patrick.
Good conversation, guys. Forgive my cough, and I'm coming out of it, that's for sure. Two things. One, first of all, I am not for anybody not making money. Don't even get me wrong. But I've been stunned by the guy from Memphis. Was talking to Smack and LeBron. He gets an $80 million contract.
Dylan Brooks.
Who's he playing for?
Where, who, and how? They need to find his agent and his people to get them to work for everybody who can't play in the league. got to get him to work for them because $80 million.
Wow.
Well, when you look at the Miami Heat model, right, with Struce, who signed with Cleveland, right, Vincent, who signed with L.A., right, Lakers, they were paying them basically the minimum in a way, right? So they do that player development thing. And so they got to the finals of player development thing as opposed to breaking off all these people's insane salaries. And you're right. I mean, sometimes I've been around some NBA players, and I'd be thinking about the contract they're getting, and they walk by, I'd be like, damn, I mean, I got the same feeling of energy as I did with the waiter at TGIF.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the league, they got the agents have it good because they got these, teams got these salary slots. They get paid based off the collective bargaining. So, like Fred VanVleet, right? What, one-time All-Star, 4 years, $113 million or something?
Yep.
Right? Yeah,
that buys groceries.
Mike, between that one and lastly, the fact that it is, again, it's July, and I begin to go on, I'm starting to read my football stuff. And the name that keep coming up that we should watch out for. Watch out for the guy beyond the guy from the Atlanta Hawks that's running back, Beyond James from Texas, who's wearing Michael Vick's number this year.
Oh, the Falcons.
Watch out,
the dude from Texas.
Watch out, man.
Unless there's a reason. Unless they didn't think he wouldn't be good. So, definitely keep your eyes on the brother.
When does camp open for the NFL?
Summer's two weeks. The Jets might open up another week because they got to play early in the Hall of Fame game against the Browns.
All right.
This
month?
Yeah, this month. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Professor, you didn't get a chance to get off a lot today, but as always, what you say matters. You know, the mouse, well, they got mouse-proofed to some degree, but there's still a couple of rats who they should have gotten rid of as well. But I digress. Please elucidate.
Okay, let me get my dictionary out. Kind of.
Don't hesitate.
That's a resume. my first July Charlotte Reggie. If we do a purge here, we might need to get Reggie a pay cut. And then work from there.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
I've looked at all these different aspects of this. And like I said, I watched your draft. I listened to some pieces and bits and pieces after it was over. And at the end of the day, I think the NBA is one of the biggest piles of bull crap I've ever seen in my life. I can understand why they're keeping this new man from France. They talk about his skills and all this other kind of stuff, which is cool. But then, you know, and everybody's projecting how great he's going to be. Well, he's going to have to, at some point in time, real soon, he's going to have to be able to stand up onto the basket because he's 7 foot, whatever.
Five.
3.5.
Unfortunately, he's not like your man that used to play for the Mavericks. Who was 7 feet tall, but he didn't go inside.
No,
he's a brother. Got to go inside at some point. But you know, I've had this discussion with some of my family members about the differences that we're seeing or not seeing. And the first thing I look at is, okay, since when is the defense better today when every time somebody drives, everybody's hand drops to the side? You watch a guy fall and get rid of a blocking shot, and his hands are below his chin. You can't do it that way.
Now, they don't play D. Hey, Fred, they don't play D because it's the AAU culture in America. Matter of fact, there was more 50-point performances in the NBA last year than ever because no one plays D.
That's right. No one plays D.
That's my point exactly. Because they don't play the defense, but then even at the professional level, they don't play the same kind of defense. And this is why there's such a gap between the old heads and the guys that play now. You get that video of Earl Monroe and Frazier. So, you know, we would never drive the paint. Why not? Because they wouldn't
your
let you drive it. What?
There you go.
You get your ass lit.
And today they'll call, well, that's play too well. No, let's play basketball. There is this thing called defense. But anyway, I'm going to be headed for Texas this time, about this time next week, so I may or may not call in. But I've already told my family members they got 2 or 3 days to get this weather right.
But,
but everything's good, and I'm getting back to work on some other projects because it just needs to be done. We'll be working when I get back. We'll be telling some more about what's going to be going on at Lomberg Institute, which is currently the owner of the old school academies for black players, and we're getting better and better every day.
All right, blackheadinterview.com.
And you got to find out when the press conference is coming up.
Excuse me.
Got to find out when the press conference is coming up. Football press conferences.
Oh, I'll get that for you tomorrow.
All right.
You got to find out what's going on.
Safe travels, Fred. Save some barbecue for me. Eric, come on with it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, always a good to score some, you know, with the brothers, you know, bringing in, you know, advocacy in the way that we talk about, you know, certain individuals and people, you know. And it's not about critiquing or hoping for change for anyone, but just more or less telling it, you know, where's the great Gil Noble, just telling it like it is. It's impartial.
Yeah.
You know, it's impartial. It's not looking to be, you know, blogged about or podcasted about or looking for fanboys and, you know, it's like rah-rah, come by, fake groupie bullshit. You know, it's just straight up, you know, up and down and, you know, based on, you know, real integrity, based on real facts. And that's why the information has never challenged. No one ever comes up and says that. And we would love that to happen, right, to get challenged. Boy, my pen is rusty. I couldn't wait to just unlaunch a fusillade of counter-contributories, may I say. But all that aside... All that it's always fresh, you know, the information is always fresh and relevant, and people have great recall, you know. But, you know, Charles Barkley's name comes up a lot, you know, for various reasons. And, you know, Barkley, you know, he listens to, you know, information shared here, and we don't take that as an insult because if it's, you know, quality information, something valid, then, you know, it's always worth sharing. But, pleased to see that, you know, he contributed $1 million installment to Jackson State, something he talked about doing. You know what I mean? So, you know, he's welcome off of Millie, you know, to you know, whatever reason being, you know, he's done that. And, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, also a great advocacy of information shared here, you know, over-confirmed, knowing that, you know, he's also been very conscious about, you know, his participatory events. You know, giving back at the level that they do, right? You know, Kenny, you know, goes back to the Archbishop Malloy days, you know, coming out of Queens, New York, you know, when he was the second wheel. He was the third wheel of the top point guards, I think, Pearl Washington. No, he was number two. Pearl Washington was one. He was number two. And Mark Jackson was three. You know, they all were, you know, they were all, you know, contemporaries. And, you know, Mark, I remember he was a bishop of law firm, another type of story. Never thought, you know, he was going to have such a thing pass, but it's great to see. So we have these histories and direct experiences, and we share them.
you know, without any mitigation, without any, you know, fanfare or without anyone needing to promote what we say and do. But all that mm-hmm. is to say that when everyone brings in their collective viewpoint, and which is great, you know, awesome, you know, every single time, it's unfiltered, man, and just built in a lot of sense. So my thing today is more or less just, you know, acknowledging what I hear today, because I can pull back from everything I'm saying to hear. All the other brothers' input, which is awesome, is relevant and how it all, you know, all manifests today. So it's always good to be part of the building block, but it's also good to be able to, you know, sit back and self-critique it, and then unbiasedly and without apology, pump up what we do.
Yes, indeed. Much thanks for that. Gary.
Well, my brothers, I am very happy to see that Tennessee State University, HBCU, will have a hockey program. This year will be the first year that a HBCU will play hockey in the NCAA.
Ohio Valley. Yes, sir.
So, go Tigers. I hope they win the games and play well and get some great black hockey athletes on the ice. Remember, go 1 o'clock. Sunday is stylistic.
All right, stylistic. But that's a nice little item.
Stylistic versus who? Blue Magic? Or, I didn't get to who the versus was. Oh, is this a stylistic shout-out?
Just the stylistics. Just
okay, what you're talking about. Wow.
Everybody,
bet you by golly, wow.
By golly, wow, yes.
Look,
hurry
yeah.
up.
It's
wait again.
Listen to your heart. It's good. It's saying now.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Uh-oh. Let me go get my flashbacks. Well, it's funny.
Hey, Mike, you're to break out the Muscatel flask, man.
That's right.
Don't break out the pot.
That's right. That's right. No Mad Dog. The good stuff, the Muscatel.
Well, no 2020, man. No 2020.
No 2020.
Mike, your vision's good, man. Your vision's good.
I can see.
That was too wild.
On my show yesterday, I talked about how Carmen might be late sometimes, but she never misses an appointment. And in the spirit of that, I want to speak to my brother Yusuf Salam, who is one of the Central Park Five, who is now the exonerated Five, who is running for public office. Apparently in the primary, he crushes opposition, and it is a very Democratic town in New York. It's very likely he will get elected, but it was Yusuf Salam, I believe, who was the one who said, as they tried to force a confession out of him, that they lifted the jogger's skirt. Now, instead of the police person thinking something was funny or fishy, and knowing that we got to go in another direction and let this go, they tried anyway because they wanted some butts. If Salam gets elected to the office, I would love to see him confront Donald Trump and tell him, kiss my black ass. You try to kill me? Yeah. The director who came out with the movie When They See Us put it in plain view for everybody to see. When they see us, you have a preconceived notion. Yes, brother.
Trump ain't got them kind of balls.
Nope.
No, he don't have them kind of balls.
Run away, baby.
No, we don't.
And plus, you know, he's using classified information as TT in his restroom.
Yes.
True.
He's covered up, this guy, if I ever see him, I'm running him over my wheelchair.
When you have that amount, when you have that amount of classified data, what are you planning on doing with it? Selling it?
Exactly.
It's
called blackmail. When you got that level of classified data, I mean, you're not just harboring it for, you know, the cocktail party.
No,
what's the purpose?
But you wouldn't mind a couple of Russian women to pee on him, just for old time's sake. But I digress.
He's in deep trouble, man.
All the money he, all people's money he's loaned over the years. We don't know who he owed and how much he owed to different
there
people.
There it is. And plus, you know, plus his relationship with the guy over there, you know, in Bear Country. You know, over there as well. You know, I mean, when you have that level, as ex Air Force man, you have that kind of level of classified. It is treason. It is like firing squad level shit.
Literally,
you ain't wrong. I mean, compromising. I mean, when you do that, right, regardless of your ethics or your belief, that is a total compromise to national security.
He doesn't care.
No. We already know. We don't care if he cares or not, because that's been proven, right? You know, so we could care less what he thinks about anything. Right now, he don't have that opinion no more. He's under it right now. So his opinion doesn't even matter anymore. Right, because that's a hard thing to shake, man. You're an ex-president, you get indicted, they got the drop. Feds don't play. The feds don't play. They're very patient, but they don't play with that national security.
Jack Smith is not to be played with. And you're going to call him a son?
The eagle does not compromise that thing at all. You know what I mean? And that's why it's all front and center, but they're patient, man. Real quick, remember Marion Jones?
Yeah.
You know, remember Marion? Marion was like, the feds had to drop, right? And they were like, listen, here's the story. Just do this, and we'll leave you alone. You was an Olympian. You know, we ain't trying to break you all the way off, Marion. Oh, hell no, I ain't do shit. And the feds was like, shit, just, you know, do a couple of, you know, surveys, you know, take a little small hit, you know, we'll just go around the country and talk to kids and all that bullshit. I'm not guilty. Okay. Mike, we got the drop. What you want to do with this, Mike? Hell no. Okay. All right.
There's more puppies out there.
But for Brother Salam, I am grateful and thankful that he got a little get back, and make no mistake about it, it's not so much when they see us, but when Trump sees Salam, he's looking at karma.
All right, over the weekend I watched When They See Us, Ava DuVernay's four-part series on Netflix. It was both the most beautiful and sad thing I've ever seen. It is the story of five young boys, 14 to 16 years old, who are accused of rape and assault of a white jogger based on little to no evidence at all. There was no physical evidence that connected those boys to the scene. There was no eyewitness evidence that connected them to the scene. They happened to be what all black and brown parents fear, the wrong place at the wrong time. And their lives were turned upside down. Complicit was a legal system and powerful people that decided these boys should be the example. And all of those people who were involved, from the district attorney to the prosecutor to even a businessman in New York, have all gone on, even despite these boys' trials and travails, have gone on to great success. Donald Trump became president. The district attorney, the prosecutor, became a best-selling author. Somebody else became a teacher at Columbia. There is nothing that you could accuse black people of that people will not believe. Nothing. Even absent evidence, not one shred of physical evidence placed those boys in the scene, a scene that bloody and that brutal, with no evidence, nothing saying that they were there. Later on, the man who came forward whose evidence was DNA was everywhere, he came forward, and they still couldn't say that those boys hadn't done. I was reading CNN, and they talked that they had an exhaustive list of all of the men. They talked about did an exhaustive study, and it talked about how black people are more likely to be falsely accused and adjudicated than any other race. And that is because when they see us, they see monsters. I asked Jay, who works on our show, to put together a list. He had 5 minutes to do it. He was able to come up with 92 names. Now, I can't read them all because we have commercials to run. But some of the ones that pop out are Ed Johnson, 1906, rape. Thomas and Meeks Griffin, 1913, murder. The Scottsboro Boys in 1931. Ed Brown, 1934, murder. Arthur Ellington, 1934, murder. Henry Shields, 1934, murder. George Stinney, 1944, murder. Lena Baker, 1945, murder. Reuben Carter, 1966, murder. Dewey Bozella, 1977, murder. Clarence Brantley, 1980, murder. Grover Thompson, 1981, stabbing. Troy Davis, 2011, murder. And these happens in all regions across the country. Now, these are people who somebody put at a scene and put to jail based on little or no evidence, because all you have to do is say a black person did something and people will be inclined to do it. The only thing they don't believe is that we went to school and that we work hard and that we're honest and that we love our families. You can't believe that. But any horrible thing you accuse black people of, you can get away with it, and they'll do it. Those boys lost their lives because they became what that system decided they should be, monsters, and they weren't. They were children. You send a 16-year-old boy to Riker, to Attica in a maximum security prison. You ruined their life. And you know what you did? You gave them $41 million. Do you know that Erin Andrews, a white woman, somebody saw her through a peephole, and she got $50 million? So breaking five black lives doesn't mean anything. Seeing a naked white woman, everything. And every one of those people who prosecute the prosecutor, Donald Trump and the district attorney, all those people all profited from it. They sold books. They became president. They became teachers at Columbia. I don't think it's enough just to ask that we boycott that woman's books. I think she should be indicted. I think she should go to jail. I think she should suffer the same thing that they suffered. You saw those children. You didn't see children. You saw monsters, and you made them that. And you contorted them to do it. And you did it in spite of all the evidence saying no. Here's the thing I don't understand. Science says we did do it. Science says we didn't. You can say whatever you want about us, and people will believe it. Right now, Donald Trump is the president of the United States of America because he said he wasn't born here, and people believed it absent evidence. They believe the worst about us. I've said this before, and I mean it to be true. The most dangerous place for us to live is in white people's imagination. The movie is called When They See Us. I suggest that you all see it. And when they do see us, what a lovely day it'll be. Because they will finally get to see that we're no less human, no less loving, no less fearful, no less flawed than anybody else. It'll be a great day in America when they do finally see us. All right, that's a little note from the GED section.